It is really good to be back here on Sunday morning. I'm so happy to join you again. And today is Trinity Sunday. It is the kind of the grand finale of the liturgical year. But here's the thing. I'm guessing that for most of us, the Trinity is not in our top 10 list of exciting things to talk about. So as I was getting ready to prepare for today to preach, what I always do is I kind of zoom way in to the texts. And as some of you may or may not know, the Bible doesn't really fully explain the Trinity. So it doesn't. All of these texts were chosen, or at least the New Testament ones, were chosen because they all mentioned each of the persons of the Trinity. So it's kind of ironic that it was the Old Testament text that caught my attention this week, and it was the one from Proverbs that talks about wisdom calling. And I really was captured by that, so I did some research, and I found out that for the ancient Hebrews, wisdom did not mean the same thing to them as it does to us. Most of us in, 21st century America think about wisdom as meaning good judgment. We think it means good discernment, insight. But for the ancient Hebrews, wisdom meant being able to accurately perceive. Oh, wow, I get a big. Hey, man, because I'm special. All right. Wisdom meant being able to accurately perceive ultimate reality. Being able to look at ultimate reality and see the great patterns that exist and order one's life accordingly. When we think about ultimate reality in our culture, I think whatever we think about, we actually live our lives in a really distorted way. We live as if the primary reality in the world is our individual selves. Our central reference point is our personal experience, and that's understandable. But especially in 21st century global North, our culture is excessively individualistic. And even though we know that we're all connected, most of us in reality operate in practice as if we are islands unto ourselves. But when Christians say that God is triune, one of the things that we mean is that even God's own self is not an individual. God is a community of persons who is eternally dancing around the different members of the Trinity. So when the ancient Hebrews look at ultimate reality and gain wisdom from it, I think that is our entry point into Trinity Sunday. How we need to understand Trinity Sunday is that it is offering us a window into perceiving ultimate reality. The DNA of ultimate reality is plural. The DNA of ultimate reality is communal. And we are made in the image of that communal God, which means that everything about us is meant to be communal and relational. We are not meant to be narcissists. We're not meant to be islands unto ourselves. Well, recently I read a book by John Polkinghorne. How many of you know who he is? Only a few. Well, he is great. He is this Anglican priest who is also a quantum physicist. And he wrote a book called Quarks, Chaos, and Christianity. It's awesome. I'm no scientist, like I'm a poet, but I love this book. It's really good. He said, among other things, that quantum physicists have discovered that even an electron, which is the smallest particle of matter known to human beings, an electron at the other side of the knowable universe has an impact on what happens here. I mean, that's crazy. What that means, what quantum physicists have discovered, is that the universe is this vast, impossibly intricate, and finely sensitive weave where everything impacts everything else all the time. That's a glimpse into ultimate reality, and it's awe-inspiring. But it can also be profoundly disconcerting. Because I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot that's happening out in the universe that I don't want to be impacted by. Right? I mean, let's not, you know, just let's start with a presidential election, you know? And if I'm honest, many of the things that I think and feel and even do, I don't know if I want the universe to be impacted by that either. Right? Well, that's why Trinity Sunday is so important. What we're saying is not just kind of a sloppy, God is communal and the universe is interconnected and that's what it means. That's not really what I'm saying. I'm saying that ultimate reality is the triune God. And that God has a will. And the will of the triune God is for reconciliation. And one way to think about reconciliation in face of this vast weave that we are in the universe is that God wills healing for the great breaches in our weave. God wills healing in the fabric of our connectedness. Precisely when the intricate vast weave of the universe feels more like a tangle than anything else, God wills harmony in the way that we are connected. The triune God's will is for shalom, for the well-being of the whole. The triune God wills reconciliation for us. So let's go back to wisdom. For the ancient Hebrews, wisdom is to perceive the order of the universe and to order your life accordingly. We can cooperate with the divine will for reconciliation and healing. When we pray, we can surrender our self-centered reference point and literally align ourselves with the great pattern of God's will for reconciliation in the midst of diversity and conflict. Instead of taking the individualist answer, which is, for me, either usually to shut out the world's problem or try to control it, those are my two preferred ways. We can seek to discover the triune God's will for healing and reconciliation and align ourselves with that. In this book by John Polkinghorne, he has a chapter in it called Can a Scientist Pray? And of course, his answer is yes. I mean, he's a priest. But he says that basically, I'll read you what he says. I believe that when alignment between the human will and the divine will happens, things become possible that are not possible when the human and the divine wills are at cross purposes. Therefore, prayer is genuinely instrumental. It genuinely changes the world. And then he gives this wonderful example. He talks about light waves. When light waves move normally, they're just all over the place. They're going in all kinds of different directions at different frequencies, and what you get with that is diffuse light like in this room. But when light waves align with each other and move in sync with each other, that creates a laser, which is incredibly powerful. And that is what happens when in this vast, intricate weave of the universe, we surrender our wills to the divine will. When the divine will and our will align, great power is unleashed. And the thing is, we have no idea what will happen as a result. We have no way of knowing exactly what impact will occur, what chain of events that will unleash. What we can do is trust. What we can do is let go of and surrender our endless temptation to see ourselves as the central reference point of the universe, and instead accept our profound interconnection with the triune God's presence and will for reconciliation, which is at the heart of it. Amen.